I am honored to call this church my home, and all of you my family. Church is the family that we choose, and there are many, many churches and plenty of reasons that anyone would choose to be a part of some other place. You've decided to be here, and I'm very thankful for that. I believe that God has an incredible purpose for this church. I'm preaching now, in case you were wondering. I believe that God has a wonderful purpose and plan for this church in this time, in this place, in this moment in history. God has a plan for this body, for this group of people who gather together. We know that we exist as a church to glorify God. That's the most important thing. We exist to glorify God and then to equip saints, and we're going to talk about that today, and to share the gospel, to take the things that we know, the things that we cherish about God, and share them with the world. We talk about these things fairly often, and we keep returning to them as a focus because we don't want to waste our time here. We want to make sure that we are incredibly, intentionally laser-focused on those things, because in those three things, we summarize everything else. We focus on glorifying God. It's a big deal here. It's a big deal. First and foremost, most importantly, we know we exist to glorify God. That's why we put such an emphasis on worship in our church. That's why we're so dedicated to it. We know that coming together benefits us, but it's not all about us. It's not about me. We gather together to make great the name of Jesus. And so we schedule things and plan things like All Worship Sundays that we had a couple of weeks ago. We devote nearly half of our service every Sunday to worship. We make sure that every part of our service, every part of our gathering, our children's church, our youth ministry, everything that we do is focused on that. In my preaching, I strive to place Jesus at his appropriate place of honor. And I ask you to do the same. I exhort you to do the same. We spend a lot of resources devoted to that purpose. We want to do it well. We want to worship well. We want to exalt Jesus well. From there, we see these two other instructions so often in Scripture directed at the church. We must give them a great deal of attention as well. And the first thing, or the first of the second things, is to equip saints. So we're going to talk about it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14 says, "And he gave him, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." That was Jesus. He gave some to be those things: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Five. The next verse says the reason that he gave them. Verse 12 says, "To equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and techniques of deceit." Our goal in this place, first and foremost, to glorify God, but secondly, becomes to equip you to live this life and do ministry in this life for one another. Colossians 1, 28 and 29 says, "We proclaim him. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me," the Apostle Paul says. And so today we focus specifically on what it means to minister to the saints. How we do it, what it is, and what equipping you might need along the way. First, let's pray. God, you are holy and good. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the ability to study your word together. God, help me to speak well. Give me words to say that would be clear and understandable. God, let your Holy Spirit work in us so that we could be forever changed. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Ministry to the world is important. It's incredibly important. Ministry to those out there is essential to being part, to being a Christian. We have to. Jesus said, the things that you do for the least of these, you have done unto me. It's important. We can't look at the world and say, you don't matter. We have to see them, see their pain, acknowledge it, and do something about it when we can. That's not what we're talking about today. I want you to know that that's very important. But it's not what we're talking about today. The ministry referred to here is to the saints. You, gathered in this room, ministering to you, gathered in this room. It's you taking care of you and taking care of the yous that are gathered across the street or up the road. We got two other churches right here on this block or on this, on Palin, which turns into McKinley. You get it fixed? Good. It's you taking care of you. Christians taking care of other Christians. There are rooms just like this one across the globe, full of people who believe in the name of Jesus, who proclaim him every day, who need your interaction. I have heard and often said now, hurt people, healthy people, healthful people. Our responsibility as a church is to bring you to a place of healthiness and maturity so that you go out and share that healthfulness and maturity with us. Because we needs it. Because we come to this place broken and hurting. And we know about Jesus, and Jesus is wonderful, but we come into this place and we need to know about him better. And we need to know the things that you know about Jesus. I need to know about Jesus. How we interact, how we relate, how we respond and behave to one another should be different than the way that we interact, relate, and respond to the world. The world is out there, and they need us. We need us too. We need us at our best. We need us. I'm about to chastise everyone in the room for just a moment. If you have safety toes on, that might be appropriate. Some of you are wearing open-toed shoes. I'm sorry. A few weeks ago, we handed out contact cards because we have a deficit right now of contact information. A lot of you, I have your contact information because I've been hanging out in this church for a long time. But if you wanted to call someone that is on the other side of the room, because you sit where you've always sat, so these people don't have those people's phone numbers and vice versa, we wanted to provide something where people could connect with one another. So we made these little cards. We're going to create a directory of something. Then at the bottom of that little card was a line that virtually everyone in the room left blank. Everybody here, almost everybody here. I can't say unequivocally that everyone here did it, but very, very many of us, I'm going to skip it. I'm going to skip that line. That line asked the question, what areas of ministry would you like to be involved in? What areas of ministry would you like to be involved? Blank. Silence. Nothing. Some of us, we left it blank because we feel like we're already doing the things that we're called to do. I'm already serving on the worship team. I'm already helping in children's church. I'm already sweeping the grass on Sundays or whatever. I'm doing the things. I'm already out mopping in the rain. I'm doing all the stuff that I know God's called me to do. Some of us left it blank because we don't know what we are called to do. Maybe we're not ready to do stuff yet. Some of us left it blank because we don't want to do nothing. We don't want to be called to do anything at all. Some of you feel like you've done it now. You're done doing it. I did it for a while. I served in this capacity, that capacity, that capacity, and I'm done. Some of you are overwhelmed with the Johnson children and can't do anything else because you already serve in that ministry, and that's a ministry. No? Okay. But we left it blank. Some of you didn't fill out a card at all, and you need to do that so we can share your phone number with the people across the aisle because they want to call you. They want to know who you are. And some of you don't get church text messages, and those things are really important because we need to be praying for people, and this is a church that prays. So fill out the card. It's back there. It's really easy. I want to wrestle with those ideas today because we know that the purpose of the church, my job as pastor, is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. My job is to give you the tools and the resources and the knowledge and the stuff, the money, whatever it is, to do the stuff that you know that you're called to do. I have a lot of people who come and say, hey, you know what we should really do? We should. My response is almost always the same. Okay, yes. How? When do you want to start? We can do that anytime at your convenience. Because the reality is I cannot do all of the things. I said that from the very beginning. The very first Sunday that I was here in this position as senior pastor, I said, I can't do it all. And I said very forcefully, you will not force my wife to do it all. Dan and Kathy were in full-time ministry. Love them very much. Dan was in full-time ministry. Kathy served as a secretary at the school. But for most of the time that they were ministering in this church, they had a lot of time to minister in this church. Significantly more time than we do. We have four little kids at home. I have a full-time job. My wife has a job. We got stuff. This church has to minister to each other because I can't answer every one of your problems. You might have to call Ron. You might have to call Bruce. You might have to call Mark. You might have to call Jennifer or Sherry or Beth. We're going to wrestle with these ideas today because my responsibility is to equip you to do the things. We all have work to do. Rick came to me this morning and said a few things about feeling called to do stuff. And I said, I want you to know I have my sermon written before you and I had this conversation. I was done already, mostly. I always polish a sermon Sunday morning, no matter when I started. Even if I start at Saturday night, I'm still Sunday morning at 9:50. I'm still thinking about different things. Okay, what do I need to say? God, lead me in this because I don't know. But I did have this written. We all have work to do. We are a small church, but I believe very, very strongly that we're a big deal in the kingdom of God. We're a big deal in the kingdom of God because He created us and called us to be here in this moment in time. We're supposed to be here. We're a purpose. We're a small church, but we're a big deal. We are uniquely equipped for this time and place to accomplish the things that God has set out for us to accomplish. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." You have stuff to do. We were created for this, into this, this moment in time. Some of us know specifically. Some of us know. We've been doing this for a long time. We're really good at this thing. And so we know it. We know what that is. Some of us have had that affirmed in us time after time after time. The road to me being a pastor was lined with those moments of people affirming, yes. Yes, I believe that. The only people that wrestled with the idea of me being a pastor were me and my wife. We were the only ones that would have said no to that in the people that we talked to about it. As we were praying about it and considering it, it was just us that would have said no. Some of us know specifically. I was created, called, gifted, and graced for this. Some of us know. Take a moment and write that phrase down. I was created, comma, called, comma, gifted, comma, and graced to do blank. Some of you know what goes in the blank. You already know. You've been a Christian for a while. You know I'm good at these things. There are probably a lot of things that you can put in that blank. Whether you are 7 or 87, there are things you can put in the blank because we need you today in the body of Christ while you're here. The body of Christ needs all of its parts and pieces, its ligaments, its bones, its skin. My kids are young, so they've been going to school and learning about the sizes of organs and muscles and things. And so Libby was asking us the other day, what's the biggest muscle in your body? It's your skin. Because they've been learning stuff. The body of Christ, biggest organ, sorry. I'm not a scientist or a second grader. I'm not either of those things. There are things that you learn and forget throughout time. And things that are very important as a young person. There are probably a lot of things you could put in that blank. I am created, called, gifted, and graced to do this. But even if there aren't specific things, that's an Iowa word, aren't. Even if there is not something specific that you know right now, the Bible tells us time after time how to relate to one another and how important it is that we do so well. The Bible tells us time after time how we are supposed to talk and think and relate to one another, react to one another. You see the phrase each other and one another often in Scripture, time after time after time, and we mess it up. That's why it's written so many times. So that when you're reading through Ephesians, you see, oh, I'm supposed to be kind to one another. When you're reading through 1 Peter, I'm supposed to love one another. I got a list of them. We're going to go through them really quick. We're supposed to love one another. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified yourself by your obedience to the truth, so that you show sincere brotherly love for each other from a pure heart, love another constantly. We are called to love one another. Are you struggling with something you need to know how to do? Start by loving people. Just love people. That chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians is written because we suck at loving one another. Love is kind, patient, all of the things that you put on your frou-frou wall and you read at your wedding. All of that stuff was written because you suck at it. We're called to love one another. We're called to be hospitable. accepting one another. We're supposed to accept each other. The reality is, you're different than me. Some of you don't like the way I do my hair or the way Dan does his, and you are supposed to deal with that. Soon, I will be doing my hair the same way Dan does. It's a reality. I'm facing it. We're called to be hospitable. Romans 15:7 says, therefore, welcome one another, just as Christ welcomed you to the glory of God. Therefore, welcome one another. You're different than me, but you can eat at my table any day of the week. Any day of the week. Because we're family. Because the Bible says that my relationship with you is supposed to be one that is hospitable and welcoming. I'm supposed to welcome you the way Jesus welcomed me. And I know how he welcomed me. I was a filthy, rotten mess. I was helping a friend move some stuff the other day. And I was helping my friend Laura, who took care of me as a young person. She's my best friend in high school's mom. And I lived with them for a while. And I'm going to just share this very open story about my life. She asked me to move a very heavy safe from upstairs in her home to the back of her car because she's moving all of her things from Keokuk to Warsaw. And I went upstairs and picked up the safe, and she said, yeah, we bought that when you and Douglas were stealing money. Very loving, very accepting. They never kicked me out of that house. I lived there for a long time, but hey, we were like 13. It was just cash laying around. We were stupid. We made mistakes. But it was very so nonchalantly just like, yeah, that the reason you're carrying this safe, dummy, is because you was an idiot. She didn't say it like that. She just very nonchalantly said, you're carrying this safe because you was a thief. That's why. Very nonchalantly, I was a child. I was an idiot. I did not know and love the Lord the way I do today. I hope you all don't now think of me differently. I know that when Jesus welcomed me, he did so with all of my faults. It's very interesting to have had that one brought back to the forefront of my mind recently. Not in a condemning way, just a, we loved you anyway. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. The reality is, we are some needy individuals. And it's very easy for me to say, that Mark needs to borrow my tools again. I just wish he would buy his own tools already. I wish Sarah would let him know about the Home Depot sales so he could buy his own stuff. But if I complain about it at all, am I really being hospitable? Am I sharing everything I got with him? Because I love him? Because he says Jesus is Lord just like I do? We're called to be hospitable, accepting. We are to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens. There is stuff I got going on in my life. There is stuff you got going on in your life. And we're supposed to shoulder that crap together, so that we don't walk through life alone. Because the stuff you're going through is really hard. Maybe not today, but the stuff you'll go through in 6 months from now is really hard. The stuff I went through 2 months ago was really hard. The stuff we're going to go through in a year and a half together as a church is going to be really hard. We're called to bear one another's burdens. We're to be at peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, and regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Who do you fight with the most? most often, more than anybody else. It's your family. It's the people you got to share space with. The people that you got to rub elbows with. It's your spouse, and then your children, and then your siblings. Be at peace among yourselves. This phrase, yourselves, each other, one another, it happens over and over and over again. We're supposed to be at peace. We're supposed to serve one another. Galatians 5:13, for you are called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. There's another one another. Serve each other. Take care of one another. We are to be kind, Ephesians 4:32. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. What did I say a moment ago about who do we fight with the most? Who needs the most forgiveness in our lives? It's probably not the humans that we don't know that cut us off in Walmart. They need a little bit of forgiveness. Know who needs a lot of bit of forgiveness? The person sitting next to you right now. Person sitting in front of and behind you right now. Because these are the people that will have the opportunity to screw up more. These are the people that have the opportunity to do you wrong. And wronger than you have ever been done before. Be compassionate, forgiving. We are to be humble. 1 Peter 5:5 says, in the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. The way we interact with the world is very important. The way that we interact with one another is equally, if not more, important. Be humble. We know how good you are. You don't have to tell us. You don't have to tell anybody anything. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. But this is talking about you and me and our relationship with one another. Be humble. Kind. We are to teach one another. We're supposed to teach one another. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. We're supposed to teach and admonish. Anybody been admonished recently? Y'all know what admonishing means? It's not the fun part of teaching. The fun part of teaching is where you learn facts and figures. The admonishing is where they say, and this is where you are an idiot. Stop it. That's being admonished. We're to teach one another. Because there are things that you know about Jesus that I do not know yet. There are things that these young ones need to know about Jesus. There are things that these old people need to know about Jesus. Because you've experienced Jesus differently than I have. Is Jesus different? No. He's exactly the same. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is the same Jesus. But you have read your Bible, and he has pointed out specific things to you, the Holy Spirit has, that you needed to know in that moment, and maybe I need to know that in this moment, and I didn't open my Bible today. But you're dealing with something, and or have already dealt with it, and maybe now Robert needs that. Robert needs what you went through 6 years ago when you lost your dad or you lost your child or whatever. When you went through that, and we've got some horror stories in this church of life that we have experienced walking alongside the Lord. We've seen grace and peace. We've seen wonderful things given by God, and we need to know it. and the people next to you need to know it. We must teach one another. We are to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. The church in Thessalonica was doing a very good job of this. The church in Keokuk probably doing a decent job of it. But we have to do it all the time. Encourage one another. Keep going. You can do it. It's going to get better. God has so much in store for you. We need to hear that sometimes. All the time. All the time. Build each other up. Talk about each other in wonderful ways. You're an incredible man of God. I cannot believe the incredible things I've seen God do through you and in you and that you have done. I'm so blessed to know you. Say those words because we need it. We need it. Encourage one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day approaching, the day is coming, the end. We're getting closer to that. Encourage one another because we quit sometimes. We get halfway through the week and it's been hard Monday, hard Tuesday. Wednesday seems impossible. By Thursday, I'm done. I'm done with my job. I'm done with the Lord. I'm done with my wife. I'm done with everything. I want to get in a car and drive away because it's been so hard until I get one text message that says, hey, love you. Hope you're doing all right. You're an incredible man of God, and I'm excited to know you. Any of those things, we need it. We are to confess our sins to one another. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. We're supposed to confess our sins. We're supposed to pray for each other. Rhonda said this morning, we are a church that prays. We are a church that prays. You tell me about your stuff, we're going to pray for it. I'm going to pray for it. If you say that it's public, I'm going to tell everybody to pray for it. We're going to pray for it. We're going to pray about it. We're going to anoint that thing with so much prayer. God is going to be involved. We got a message on Facebook, I think. That's what that sound was. God is going to be involved because we're praying. We're praying people. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. That takes relationship. I'm not going to walk down the street and just pick somebody out and say, do you know what I did yesterday? Do you know who I am? I'm a filthy, rotten sinner. This is what I did. And I don't feel like I can go back because I've failed so much. Because I've broken the very law of God. I've sinned so much that He cannot restore me. I don't feel like that. In that moment, the other person has the ability to pray and say, yeah, you do. Yeah, you can. Because I know who Jesus is. We're going to pray right now. God is going to forgive you of your sin and your trespasses. You're going to be so far separated from that sin as the east is from the west. You're going to be taken care of so much. God is going to anoint you with the blood of Jesus, and it's going to be taken care of. We don't even care about it no more. If you ever speak of that again, it's the devil bringing it up in your mind and not the Lord. You're done. We need that. Because otherwise, we carry around our crap. And it weighs us down. And we can't do anything because we got so much baggage. We wouldn't possibly step into an area of ministry. I've got too much garbage. You don't want me teaching children. Because of what I was as a child. You don't want me telling nobody about nothing because of who I was yesterday or this morning on the way to church. You don't want me on the worship team because this is who I am, or at least who I was yesterday at 10:30 p.m. In that moment, your brother or sister in Christ has the ability to restore you, or at least speak restoration into you by saying, no, we're going to go to the Father right now because you spoke that to me. I know the guy. I actually know the one who has the power to condemn you. It's not you. You don't have the ability to condemn you. The devil doesn't have the ability to condemn you. God does. Let's go to him together. Let's pray right now. And in that, there is healing. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. In that moment, they have the ability to step into a situation where I screwed up. I've made the mistake already. I've gone through the nonsense already. I did it. It was me. I did it. They saw me do it. They got me on camera doing it. Yeah. And the devil is a filthy, rotten accuser. He doesn't know what's coming for him. We got it. Jesus has already got that under the blood. He took that to the cross 2,000 and so years ago. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus took that to the cross. He took that problem, that sin, that one thing you just did, he took it to the cross already. That's where we are. The phrase one another or each other or among yourselves happens so often in Scripture over and over and over again. You may not have a specific thing that you could say, that's my thing. I know that I'm called to children's ministry. Some of you need to be called to children's ministry in this church. We need some more people. You may not have that one thing, but you have all of these instructions that we can work on in the meantime and continue to work on throughout our lives as believers. Let's go down back to that phrase I mentioned a few moments ago. I was created. I was called. I was gifted and graced to confess my sins to my brother or sister. I was created to pray for Ron in that moment. I was created and gifted to love Dan in that moment when he needed it. I was given a measure of grace to teach Bruce when he brought this to me. I was gifted to encourage August in his life. I was given that measure that was needed to be involved intimately in the situations of believers around me. I was created, called, gifted, and graced to be humble, kind, hospitable, loving, generous with these people that I share this building with and that building down the street with and the building further down the street with. Do you know if you added up all the property that God owns in this place, we got some. We've got property, we've got money, we've got talent, we've got all of it in the body of Christ. We need you. Your commitment, your time, your talent, your treasure. How do we do that? We have to listen and look around. We have to listen to one another because we say stuff once in a while. We say, you know, I'm really struggling with this, or yeah, I'm trying to get this done at my house, or yeah, you know, we broke down the other day, or yeah, it's been really expensive to get a tank of gasoline, or we talk. We mention our problems, usually just in passing. But if you want to find a problem you can solve, listen and look, because they exist. Each family, each household, each person here has a thing that they could probably use your help with. It might be physical, it might be spiritual, it might be emotional. It might be something tangible, you can write a check. It might be something that you just need to sit with them side by side. You need to be with them because they're going through some nonsense. You got to listen to the things that people say. You also have to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Is there going to be things that I don't tell you about that you need to be involved in? Because I'm keeping my stuff close to my chest and I don't want you to know because I got my own problems. But if God brings my name across your brain, do something about it, please. We need that. You have to listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit, if you listen, is going to point you in the right direction. He's going to give you words to speak. He's going to help you to minister to the body of Christ because we need it. We have to have it. And it's going to be perfect in that moment, even though you think, I don't speak good. I aren't a learned person. The Holy Spirit is going to help you in that moment. And you people got to share your nonsense. You people in the maroon colored chairs have to share your nonsense. These ones. The ones that match my shirt that I wore a few weeks ago. These chairs. So many of us keep our stuff so close that you make it hard for people to help you. You make it difficult for people in this room or down the street or in any other of God's properties in this community or in the world to be involved in the things that you got going on because you keep it right here. And you look at it. My problem is still there. My problem is still there. My problem is still there. I'm not telling you about it, but it is still there. We all got secrets. I know that. And I know why you keep that crap to yourself. Why that garbage is tucked away. Why that sewage is literally trailing behind you, but you're not telling anybody about it. I know why. It's because it is hard to trust people. Because I'm going to tell you about my problems, and then you're going to tell everybody about my problems. And what I wanted was to tell you and for you to help me, not for you to make my business everybody's business. It was me and you. It's hard to trust people. You've been hurt before. You've been let down by people. Maybe people in this room that are sitting in those maroon chairs across the aisle. You don't sit in the same aisle as they do because they hurt you a long time ago. You've been hurt before. Maybe in a church across town or a church in another town. You've been hurt by church people. You can't tell people about your garbage because you have other nonsense going on. If I tell you about this little piece of garbage, you're going to find out about a mountain of garbage that I've been hiding somewhere. And I don't want to tell you about any of it. So I'm just going to keep it all in the closet and pray that it doesn't smell when you walk by. Garbage stinks. It smells bad. We know it's there. But I can't possibly know what it is sometimes unless you tell us. In this group of people, there should not be a person that feels alone, and yet there are. There are people in this room that feel anxious and unforgiven, and there should not be. We together, shoulder to shoulder, should go to war against those things. And yet, the Bible tells us that we are not perfectly ready to accomplish all of that stuff immediately. The Apostle Paul writes that Jesus specifically gave offices in the church to help you along the way. Some of you should probably hold some of those offices. You've been a teacher for a long time. You need to probably be a teacher. You've been an evangelist. You really care about getting people saved. You should be an evangelist. We should promote that, talk about it, exalt you in that, raise you up in that. As we get to know you and you get to know yourself and one another, hopefully we get good at that. As we're guided by the Holy Spirit, I'm not doing anything without His instruction. But the offices of the church exist to equip the people in the church. It isn't all up to me. We have a mindset of getting people saved that I just got to invite people to church. No. You have a responsibility in yourself. We have an idea in the church that if we got problems, we all need to come to the pastor. No. Or if I find out that Elmer's got a problem, I need to take his problem to the pastor. No. You are called to minister. I'm called to equip. Our responsibility is to give you the tools and the teaching to do what God has called you to do. And you have to apply what is being taught. Some of us come to church on Sundays and we sit in a chair and we listen and then we go home and we go about our lives as if Sunday had never happened before. Or we come to a Friday night Bible study and we sit in and we listen and we say, okay, that was really interesting information about that church in Corinth. And I'm not in Corinth, so until they write the book of First Kiakukians or whatever it is, then I don't have to pay attention to that. That is not true at all. You have to apply what is being taught. I'm trying to use as many wrong words as I can here. Really upsetting the academically inclined Rory, who's running off to college here soon. Rory's going to go get edumacated. But she's going, are you going to Kansas or Missouri to do that? I don't think it's an improvement. That's fine. We got a lot of people that are leaving to Kansas or Missouri or nonsensical things like that. We're just sending people out all the time. Our responsibility, those of us that hold that office or operate in it, even if you haven't been called the teacher, you operate in that office, and we have a responsibility in that to share a clear and present picture of who Jesus is. Because what our goal is to equip you to mature into Christ. I'm not trying to get you to be the best Dan Wynn you can be. I'm trying to get you to be as close to Jesus as you can be. Where in this lifetime you are unrecognizable as that human, now you are Jesus walking. Because you are not the Dan Wynn that we knew 35 years ago. We hope. We know. Some of us are praising God for that right now. And they're all sitting in that row. I'm not. To equip the saints to mature into Christ, my responsibility is to paint a clear picture of who Jesus is. And I try to do that. I do that with the way that I live my life, hopefully. I do that with the things that I teach, hopefully. I don't know all the time if I'm doing a good job, but that's my goal. My goal as I live my life is to show you who Jesus is and to respond the way Jesus would. And I'm trying to get better at that, and you should too. And anybody that holds that position has to show everyone else Jesus. Because the people who sit in maroon chairs or gray chairs or any of these other fluffy chairs or in pews, wherever they go to church, they need to see who Jesus is. Just as much or more so than the people on the street who don't come through the doors. They need to know Jesus. to do that, we've got to spend some time together. You guys got to come to church. You got to. Got to come to church on Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays, every other day that ends in Y that we're having a thing. You should be there. My responsibility is to equip you. Your responsibility is for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. That whole verse belongs to you. I get a verse, you gets a verse. That one's yours. The to equip is mine. The rest of it, yours. Not just mine. There are other teachers in our place. There are other teachers and pastors and evangelists and prophets in the body of Christ. Those people exist. We get two words. The saints have the work to do. As maturing saints, as people growing up in the Lord, you have work to do. There's some growing required. You have to know that you were created, called, gifted, and graced for this moment in history. For these people that are around you, they need you desperately. They need you. Maybe not today. Maybe you have to go through what you're going through today to help them tomorrow, but they need you to make a difference to the people who call themselves Christ followers. We exist as a church to equip the saints to do the ministry of the gospel to the saints. That's our goal. Amen? You got a list there of like 15 things that you can do right now as a body of Christ. And there are specific things you can do. We're going to fill in the blank. And some of you are going to fill out that contact card in the back, and I won't call you out again about that. Good? Let's pray. And then we're going to have a baptism. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I ask that you would help us. Help us to see the problems around us. Help us to share the nonsense that we have in our own lives so that we could minister to one another, so that we can take care of one another, we can love one another. God, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus today. God, I ask that you would pour out blessings beyond measure on each one of us that are here, that you would give us provision, that you would give us health, that you would give us wonderful things as we go about this week so that we would give and call attention to your name and we would make your name great. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.